Hi, this is Darren from ProBlogger, and today I have the privilege of interviewing Jeff Walker from Product Launch Formula. Jeff's a guy that many of you will know, partly because I've recently promoted a couple of his videos that he's just released, but also because over the last year or so, I've mentioned him a number of times as being someone who's really helped me in my own launching of products. Jeff, I'm not sure how much of my story you know, but up until about 2 years ago, I relied almost completely upon advertising revenue and affiliate revenue to monetize my blogs. And with the economy changing, I began to start to experiment with my own products and launched my first one probably a year and a half ago, just before I came across Product Launch Formula, and made a complete botch of it. But I learned two things. One, I know nothing about product launches and didn't know anything about it. But two, it worked anyway. Because I'd built trust and credibility and some influence in the spaces that I was operating in, people just bought the ebooks that I was selling like crazy, and we did a six-figure launch in a week just on the back of some terrible strategies. So this is the longest introduction I've ever done, but I guess I wanted to say that a lot of bloggers are very suspicious of internet marketing and product launches, but they unknowingly are in a great position to be able to use some of the strategies that you teach to do it in a way that I think is authentic and that can lead them into some profit as well. So thank you for joining us. That's the longest intro I've ever done, but I just wanted to say I think this is really a relevant conversation for people. So thanks for joining.
Well, thanks for having me. This is going to be fun.
Yeah. So perhaps let's start with a lot of bloggers, when I mention product launches and internet marketing, are quite suspicious of the whole internet marketing game. We've all been on the receiving end of long sales pages and hypey sort of emails. I know that's not your style, but how would you respond to that? How have things changed over the last couple of years?
Well, it's sort of interesting because I actually got my start online way back, I think around 1990 on those online services. Actually, the first one I was on was called Genie, and then there was AOL and Prodigy and CompuServe and all those. And the world was a lot smaller. The online world was smaller back then, and it was all about the conversation. And then, the internet came along, and I got on the internet, and everyone got on the internet, and all of a sudden, and even back then, hardly anyone was selling anything. I mean, selling online was like rocket science to be able to take a credit card. But then it gradually it evolved into there is a lot of hype and a lot of marketing, and it's all about commerce. And then I think, web sort of the 2.0 revolution, which I've lumped blogs into really the forerunner of that, is really about the conversation. So I really think where the internet is going is back towards the conversation. And, I think product launches, really, the way I teach them, the way I do them, a product launch is a conversation. It's a conversation as the business owner, you're trying to direct. You don't want it to be a free-for-all. You want it to be something you can direct and take in the direction you want. But it is very much a conversation. And frankly, people are more interested in conversations than they are in a sales letter is like a monologue or a lecture. And, occasionally someone who's incredibly gifted can deliver a lecture that holds people's attention, but you have to be incredibly gifted. So to write a sales letter that really captures people, you have to be some ninja copy person or have a completely rabid market. So it's just a lot easier if you just have a conversation to keep someone's attention. So I know that's sort of a rambling answer, but your question sort of hit on a underlying philosophical stuff that I feel very, very strongly about. I mean, I think that the internet is all about continually evolving power to the people in terms of giving us the capability to be publishers, and then a continuing evolution of connecting us, make us more connected and enabling conversation.
That's one of the things I really love. When I finally got over the hurdle that I was, enrolling in an internet marketing course, I was so surprised and really impressed to hear this whole conversational approach to it. And it was something that I guess I wish I'd got a hold of a lot earlier. because bloggers are really into conversation. We value it. We value that relationship. But a lot of people just leave it at that. We just develop relationships. But that can actually be part of a marketing approach, which is really powerful.
Right.
One of the challenges I see a lot of bloggers facing is getting over the idea of selling something to their readers. They've given so much content away for free, and they have a mindset either that my readers will leave if I start charging them for something, or I've given so much away for free, what else could I produce that is worthy of charging, or just that I can't bring myself to sell something on my blog. I'm not a salesy type person. What would you say to bloggers who have those sorts of mindsets?
Well, I think you have to, I can completely understand that. In fact, I was once asked by Marlon Sanders, who's one of my early marketing heroes, how I came up with Product Launch Formula. And I said it was basically because I was scared to ask people for money, So I invented this elaborate romance thing. And then finally it got to the point where I really needed the money. And so I'd romanced them so long that I did ask for money. And all of a sudden I realized that they were happy to give it to me. So I guess to those people, really, I would say, and this is going to sort of sound a bit hardcore, but, you know, you have to decide whether you've got yourself a hobby or whether you've got a business. And, you know, if you have a business, I mean, well, do you want to eat, you know, next month or not? And I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a site that is a hobby where you're publishing and you get a lot out of that and it brings a lot of self-worth, or you feel like you're helping people or changing the world or facilitating something. Nothing wrong with that. I think that's very admirable. But, you know, if you are in business to make money, you know, I think there's two ways to make money online. There are two ways. One way is by selling other people's stuff, and the other way is by selling your stuff. And make no mistake, if a blogger's out there and he's running ads on his site, whether they be banner ads or AdSense, you're putting up links, affiliate links, you are selling something. It's just you're selling other people's stuff. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. In fact, I think everyone should sell other people's stuff and their own stuff. I think almost everyone should mix those two business models. I think it's much better that way. You know, you want to sell other people's stuff to sort of even out to give you a broader inventory, because none of us can create as much as our market wants. And you want to sell your own stuff because the margins are higher and you actually have control. And now you're building a business and a real asset. So, I mean, I'd just say get over it. You know, if you're running ads now, you are selling stuff. It's just, it's not your stuff.
Great. One of the things you talk about, it's quite central in Product Launch Formula, is the sideways sales letter. Can you give us a bit of a quick overview of that?
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at a typical long-form sales letter, and Darren, I have to admit, you know, I never sold anything in my life, but I've always been someone who wrote. I always wrote a lot. And when I first, you know, the first long form sales letter I was exposed to, I bought the product. And then, you know, I mean, I admit I actually like sales letters, and I don't really like writing them, but I can appreciate a good sales letter. But the reality is most people aren't like me. They don't like them and they don't read them. And I was like looking at these letters and I'm like, well, what usually happens is people get to one of those long form sales letters. And first, when you load the page, you don't know it's a long form. You've just been sent a link or you found a link. It wasn't like you went, Googled, like, I want to go read some long form sales letters. So anyways, you end up on one, you don't know it at first. And then you see that little scroll bar off on the right and that goes, just keeps like getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And then it's like, just like really tiny. And it's just showing you there's like, you know, 30 pages to read. And so what I think most everyone does is they grab that scroll bar and they look at the headline and either they leave or they grab that scroll bar and they scroll down to the bottom and they look what the price is. And then, you know, if the price seems reasonable based on the headline, then they'll go back and skim through the sales letter. And, you know, you look at a couple bullet points or a couple subheads or something. The reality is not many people are actually reading them. They're not terribly effective. So I'm like, okay, how can we change this paradigm? And I came up with this idea of the sideways sales letter. So if you go from, say, a 30-page sales letter or a 10-page sales letter, and instead of having that be like this vertical, 30 pages long, if you turn that sideways and instead of made that scale pages, if you made that scale days and it went to 30 days long or maybe 10 days long, but you did this, it's essentially the same thing you would do in a sales letter. You start, what's a sales letter start with? A headline. So you start off with something, you know, that a headline that's very compelling. So that would be your first piece of pre-launch content. And you would come out the gate, you know, with that piece of pre-launch content. And then a typical sales letter might go, you know, headline, and then it's got a subhead, and then makes some type of a promise, or it raises some type of a pain point, and then it might tell some stories, and then it might have some bullet points, and then it might go into the offer, and then it might talk about the guarantee, and then it might add, you know, give the pricing. And if you took that same thing and spread it out over like 10 days or 14 days as your pre-launch, and walk through people from that headline that grabbed their attention and gradually pulled them in with a story, and then later in the pre-launch started to shift to the actual offer, and then at the end asked for the order, it's a lot easier to engage people that way. Because what happens is, first of all, since you're not asking for money up front, it doesn't look like a sales letter, you're not asking for money, then their BS detector it doesn't go into red alert right at the very beginning of the sales process, of the launch. So you get them engaged and you pull them into your story, and it gives you time to have that conversation. And it's just deadly effective. It's just a way to grab the market's attention, or whatever market you're in.
That's great. As I heard you teaching that the first time, I realized I'd had a 4-year sideways sale process myself. I'd had headlines along the way. I remember the first time I, wrote, I'm a 6-figure blogger. I've just realized that I didn't actually post that wanting to grab people's attention, but it did. And there's been other times along the way that I've had blog posts that have been headlines, and then other blog posts that have been stories, and then other blog posts that have, sold benefits of what I'm doing. So what I've learned is that as you blog, you are creating a sales letter, but then as you launch products and as you do launches as well, you do a much more congested version, condensed version of a launch. And it really is a powerful thing if you've already got that sort of relationship there as a blogger.
Absolutely. I mean, if someone is out there blogging and they haven't put together a product yet, say you've been blogging for 6 months or a year or whatever, longer, basically you have built up a huge amount of what I call relationship capital. I mean, that's like sort of, Darren, I actually don't know if you're married or not, but like if people that are married, usually like if you want to, like for me, like if I want to go, hang out with my friends, go to the bar for a night, that's fine. But if I try to do that like 14 nights in a row, it wouldn't probably, go over as well. So, there's different things you can do to, maybe you like, if the grass needs cutting or whatever, you can do things to build up relationship capital, So, I mean, if you're sitting there blogging, putting out great content for an extended period of time and you've never sold anything, then you've got great relationship capital. In fact, earlier you said some people are worried that like they've never sold anything and people aren't going to like them anymore if they try to sell something. It's the opposite. Mm-hmm. If you've built up those raving fans and you have that readership, people are following you, you've built up huge relationship capital, and some portion of your readers want to give you money. The deal is, and Darren, I know that you know this, is that when you're a publisher, when you're publishing a blog, it's like, you are in effect a celebrity. People view you as a celebrity or as an expert, or even we could say guru or whatever. I mean, it's like when you think of a book author, everyone just thinks of a book author. It's like, wow, I was at the airport and I met the author of such and such a book. It was so cool. Well, it's the same with bloggers. As soon as you start publishing, you are this star. And so people, they see you that way. And if you offer something for sale, they want to buy from you. Not everyone, of course, but a significant number.
Yeah, that blew me away the first day that I launched a product and someone emailed me and said, I didn't really want your product, but I bought it because I wanted to say thank you. And I think that was part of the reason that it was so successful the first time. They said, actually, it was a useful product as well, which was a bonus. So, yeah, it was really great. One of the objections that I get every time I talk about making money online is that only people who talk about making money online make money online. The best way to make money online is to teach other people how to do it. It's only the gurus who are making the money. Can you give us some examples of other niches where your kind of, you know, product launch strategies are working?
Yeah, well, it's sort of funny, Darren, that you asked me that because, you know, a lot of people say that, you know, well, that only works in them if you're teaching people how to make money online. And the funny thing is I developed all these techniques in my original business, which was teaching people about the stock market. And I published a newsletter about the stock market. I had no idea these techniques would actually work in the so-called internet marketing, make money online niche, you know, for the first 5 years that I did them. I thought they just worked in the stock market. Well, it turns out they worked in the make money online niche. Then I started teaching this stuff, and people have used it in just every field you can imagine. I mean, people have used it offline, services like dentistry and chiropractic and massage therapy. They've used it in little niches online like quilting and raw foods and health foods and photography, teaching photography. In fact, that was yours, right?
You did.
Well, there's been several in that. Teaching guitar. There's like business coaching in Poland. I mean, almost anything you could imagine, chocolate, like teaching people about chocolate. And then people have done it like with widgets, like marching band accessories and wooden dolls and on and on. Carving wooden dolls. There was a launch about carving wooden dolls. Holstein cow embryos. Just goes on and on and on. I mean, just things I've never, like even like big corporate stuff, like someone did a launch selling CRM software, customer relationship management software, to Fortune 1000 companies. And it's like, you know, that sales process takes months and it's made by, the decision's made by committee. So it's like, how do you do a launch to them? I couldn't, when I published this, I had no idea where it would go. And it just keeps on going and going and going. And I hear handwriting analysis. I mean, it's just, I really love hearing these because it's just like these markets I've never even heard of. Dressage, that was a famous one. Jane Savoy did one, which is horse training, dog training, taking care of your pets, taking care of your cats and dogs, on and on and on. And the reality is it's easier in those markets than in the make money online market because there's so many launches in the make money online market. You really have to do something to really stand out and be different.
Yeah. Is there some common thread between them? Like I know there's a lot of celebrity bloggers out there. It probably would apply as much to some topics as others. I'm thinking a how-to type topic is going to be more appropriate than perhaps a news-orientated topic.
Well, how-to is fantastic. Anything where you can sell information is fantastic. News-oriented, boy, I don't, you know, I have never done anything personally in a news-oriented thing. I think one direction a lot of people, if we look at social media, what's happening now is a lot of celebrities now, they're able to control their own destiny to a certain effect, like even like some of the Hollywood celebrities now, they can get all these Twitter followers and now they don't have to worry about, they don't have to rely on the media, they don't have to rely on studios, they can go direct to the people. I think one area for those people, and I would sort of put news type sites in the same thing, like even if you are just publishing about, you know, news and scoops and this and that, I mean, I think there is money to be made just purely in being a celebrity and like doing a seminar or taking a trip somewhere and bringing along people, you know, people can pay to go along with you, that type of thing. And then you're talking about a launch would be very, very effective. Mm. And I'm just completely guessing there because I don't have experience there. Mm. I always want to be clear when I'm talking theory versus reality.
Yeah. No, that's good. So, well, I mean, one of the thoughts that just comes to mind is even to have a subscription area of a blog and to launch that. I mean, I know you've recently launched your own blog and I've heard you talk about how you use some of the strategy in launching your blog.
Right.
What have you learned in launching your own blog?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's funny because this is my first real blog. I mean, I've had, you know, dozens of launch blogs, but this is one that, you know, is sort of more branded to me. And anytime I do anything, one of the absolute cores of Product Launch Formula is to use sequences. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier to influence people with a sequence than with a single email or a single blog post or a single ad or a single sales letter or a single tweet or single anything. You know, it just gets lost in the clutter. There's so much being published. So I always want to do a sequence. So when I looked at my blog, it's like, okay, well, I don't want to do a full out like product launch for a blog because in the end of the day, I'm going to be sending people to a blog post. I mean, you know, no matter how great a writer I think I am, it's still going to be a blog post. And, you know, a blog is about creating an ongoing presence. So I'm like, so what can I do? So I did put together a sequence. Like my sequence is pretty simple. I asked people to help me come up with a tagline for the blog. And then I ran a contest and I gave away an iPad in fact, it was an Australian that won it. So I had a contest to come up with a tagline. Well, part of that was because I couldn't come up with a tagline. I'm pretty lousy at naming things. So I couldn't come up with, something, but I'm also like, this is a way to get engaged, get people thinking and talking about me, my brand, and my blog like 2 weeks before the blog came out. And I think I forget how many thousands of entries I got into that contest, but basically it was thousands of people thinking about me and my blog and anticipating. And then when I wrote the blog post, I'm like, okay, go to the blog post and take a look and see who won. And then I was able to link that, actually take that over a couple of blog posts. And I think I, you know, opened it Alexa, I think it was an Alexa top 10,000 instantly when I brought that blog out, like the first day. And so, yeah, so there was no product for sale. Yeah. You know, and there still isn't. It's just a blog. But I mean, it was like I put some thought into how can I sequence this to get people engaged ahead of time.
I can't imagine how many bloggers would love to have had 2,000 people wanting to read the blog before it actually even launched. So that's fantastic. Yeah. One of the things I love about what you talk about is events, and seeing a launch as an event rather than just a sales page or a blog post or a tweet. Can you talk a little bit about this idea of events and how you teach that?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're coming out with a new product, like for you, Darren, if you had, you know, you're running your blog for a long time and you hadn't sold anything, published anything, then just by that very nature that you came out with something, that is an event. And like Apple, you know, they just came off that iPhone, and so that's just an event because the iPhone is such an iconic device and people are looking forward to it. They don't have to work real hard to make it an event. But what they do is they stage it. They get some rumors coming out, then Steve Jobs gives a keynote, then they let you download the keynote, and then they do pre-orders, and then they open up the phone a few days later. And similarly, like with someone like you, where you've been publishing this blog, you haven't sold anything, just letting people know that something's coming. Often I actually start with what we call a pre-launch, and that's where we find a way to let people know that it's coming ahead of time without saying, hey, my product's coming. You know, no one just wants to read an email that says, hey, my product's coming. But if you can sort of let it slip out, like I did, I held a contest. Mm. Or you can do a survey. Hey, I'm working on this. You might have heard, might have saw me mention, I've been working on this new course on how to play guitar. And but before I finish it, I'd really like to know like what you want to know about playing guitar. And so now you can run a survey like that. Send people to a survey, and now you're, instead of telling them, hey, I got something I'm going to sell you, it's like, hey, I really need your help. I'm really interested in your opinion. Mm-hmm. So that's the way you start to build something into an event. You can also do things like tie it to, you know, your birthday or the new year or a holiday or a graduation or a birth or a wedding, and tie it. Like we did I helped out with a launch where the product was a series, an ebook, actually a few ebooks on how to write love letters. That was a great one. How to write love letters. And so what this woman I was helping out, she actually had her daughter was getting married. So we turned her daughter into getting married into this event to launch this book. And it started off with, hey, my daughter's getting married. I'm really excited. I want to surprise her at her wedding shower with a bunch of great well wishes. And can you, so could you go to my blog and just leave a comment where you give your well wishes to Abby and Jonathan, and then I'm going to take all your well wishes and I'm going to print them out and give it to her on the day of her wedding shower. And so that was we used that event at the beginning of the launch. And then we took it from there, like, oh boy, this is so heartwarming, which it was. I mean, this was like a blog where if you ever having a bad day, you just would go and read. There's hundreds of comments of pure love. And I mean, it was like no one could read it without like ending up in tears. But that was the start of that event started the launch. And then we took it from there and evolved it into, I've been so touched by this that I'm going to make this the best offer ever and give you an extra 3 books on love letters and all this. So there's an example.
One of the great things that I have discovered in doing launch after launch is that they actually build momentum for your blog, and there's actually other benefits. Every time I've launched a product, my blog readership's gone up, as you know, my affiliates and JV partners have promoted it to their audience, then those people actually become readers. Can you talk a little bit about some of the side benefits of running a launch?
Yeah, this is something we actually call the launch echo. And until you experience this, well, first of all, most people don't know about it. And even after they hear about it, they think it's just almost mythical because it just sounds so crazy. But what happens is you build up amazing momentum, and you use affiliates and partners, but even it works even if you don't have affiliates and partners, because what you do is you are all of a sudden engaging in this conversation and usually there's some pre-launch content involved. And you know, I advocate giving away great free pre-launch content. You know, I'm in the middle of my launch and I'm just giving away video after video with real training in it, and then people just love it and they pass it around. I mean, if you look at Twitter right now, it's just going crazy with, you know, like every 5 minutes or 10 minutes, one of my videos is getting tweeted. And so, I mean, that's just building up huge momentum, not just in Twitter, but all over the place. And, you know, you'll see, I mean, I just took that my new launch is, I'm actually using a new website. I hit the Alexa top 1,000 the day we started that thing. And of course that's due to JV partners, but that has this echo effect going forward where you build up if you build your readership, I mean, what's the value of like adding like 1,000 regular new readers to your blog? I mean, going forward, I mean, that's immense. You know, I mean, that's like money in the bank, whether you're going to promote someone else's product, whether you're going to run advertising, run AdSense, or sell additional products in the future. There's another thing we call launch stacking, where generally each launch gets bigger and bigger because of that echo, because you've added more readers, because if you've got an email list, you've built your email list, because you've attracted more partners. And also another key thing is because you have increased the conversation with your readers, you have a better idea of what they want going forward, and then you can create those products. You mentioned early in the call, like people, they're like, I give away so much already. I don't know what to give people. I don't know what I would sell them. Mm-hmm. How could I come up? Well, if you just get the conversation going, they'll tell you what they want to buy from.
Yeah, we just ran a survey of our readers, of people who bought our last ebook, and we had 12,000 people tell us what they want their next ebook to be about. It's just amazing. Like they've actually told us, and 75% of them told us the one thing. And they've said, "I will buy an ebook on this." So that is the best research. And you can tell what I'm working on next.
Right. Absolutely. It's like Darren, I don't know. Do they use this? There's a term here that it's called shooting fish in a barrel. Do they use that? I mean, that's when I want my marketing to be is like shooting fish in a barrel. In fact, I'd like to take that barrel and shrink it down to the size of a bucket. And, you know, the same number of fish, and now in this bucket, you just cannot miss. And that's what, like, when you have 12,000 people that just told you, and the amazing thing is when you ask 12,000 people something, you will get all kinds of responses, but they'll always skew to 2 or 3 main responses. Yep. And the reality is if you had only gotten like 120 people or even probably 50 people to respond to that survey, you probably would have gotten as much data as you needed, because it still would have gotten that one thing that they wanted to buy from you. I mean, and then it's just so easy when you create it. It's like, I mean, people think I'm like some marketing genius. It ain't the case, man. I've just got these easy steps that I follow, and one of them is just selling stuff that people want. Mm. You know, it's just, I mean, it's easy.
That is great. And the other bonus of running a survey like that is that I've had hundreds of people say, thanks for asking.
Right.
They've replied with emails that have said, wow, you know, thanks for sending this, doing this survey. I'm like, there's you know, it's more marketing, more goodwill. I just want to tie this up, but can you quickly talk us through the videos that you've just released? I'm going to link to them under this post, but I have to say that the quality of them is really great, and particularly the last video that you've launched, which outlines your product launch formula, is whether people buy your product or not, you've given some really useful stuff in that video. Can you just talk about those videos you've released?
Yeah, sure. The first one we put out was actually a real departure for me, because all my publishing has always been talking about the little guys and the strange little niches that have done really well with launches. So for this time around, I decided to do something a little different. And the first video is called Product Launch Millionaires. And it's about the really big launches in the internet marketing world, because there's a lot going on behind the scenes that people don't understand. People think those launches, the big launches, are not working well. The reality is they're working better than they ever have. So I actually give a lot of insider stuff. I talk about the launch echo there, stuff that, you know, some of the actual product launch math, what has actually, you know, how much you actually make, what the profit margin actually is. The second one is probably my favorite video I have ever put out. It's Product Launch Disasters. And that one, we actually talk about some of the things that have gone wrong, and I name some of the names of people that have screwed stuff up, including me. But then at the end of it, I talk about the most important launch ever. And this was a launch that looked like it could have gone wrong, but it ended up going pretty well. And I highly encourage people to watch the Product Launch Disasters video. It's literally the best thing I've ever done, I think. Then I came out with the iPhone video, talking a little bit about the strategy behind the Apple iPhone launch and how similar it is to the way we do launches. And then just earlier today, as we record this, I released the Product Launch Blueprint, and that's basically, you know, I do a lot of mind mapping. I use this mind mapping program. There's a bunch of them out there. The one I use is called Mind Manager from MindJet. And so I basically walk through the blueprint, like the overall blueprint of product launch formula, so that people can download the actual blueprint. It's a PDF. And then there's also a video that accompanies it, that where I walk through the entire blueprint.
And that's great. That gives you a real overview of you know, a lot of your other teaching, which is really valuable, and it's fantastic that you give that away for free. So thank you for that. My last question is, a lot of my readers are small in terms of the size of their blogs and their reach. Can this stuff work for a small blog, person who has limited influence?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the reality is we all start with limited influence. I mean, I certainly did. And one important thing I believe in is baby steps. Is you have to start somewhere. And, you know, I mean, if we look at, you know, the most accomplished people at anything, you know, Tiger Woods playing golf, Kobe Bryant playing basketball, you know, Jimmy Page playing guitar, they all started somewhere, and they all took those baby steps to get started and move along. So there's a lot of people that might have a small readership now, but there's no reason it can't grow a lot bigger. And I like to think of this, in fact, one of the things in product launch formulas, this, you know, I'm going to be rolling out, it's completely all brand new. One of the things I've never taught before is this, what I call the product launch arc. And that's, I wish we could draw it. We can't draw it right now since we're in an auditory environment, but basically how, when you start out, you know, your launches might be small and your first few launches might be small, but because of that launch stacking and because of that launch echo, you build momentum going forward. And at some point, all of a sudden critical mass takes over and all of a sudden your launches just start growing exponentially. And then at some point, as they get just incredibly large, you know, they're going to stop growing exponentially, and then there's more of a leveling off process, and then you're just sort of going back to the well and doing relaunches. But yeah, it absolutely will work for smaller people, because what this is about, I mean, we didn't even talk about like some of the mental triggers and stuff, but what you're doing is you're aligning yourself with the way humans communicate and humans are influenced. That's what this is really about, is it's about aligning yourself with the way to influence people and communicate with people. And it doesn't matter if you have, you know, 30 people following you, or 300 or 3,000 or 300,000, the principles are all the same. You might not get as big a returns when you're just starting out, but this really is how people get bigger and go from being like, you know, someone with small readership to being someone with a large readership.
And the thing I guess we all need to remember is that those big launches, they started somewhere, and they started with small launches. And, you know, you tell some of your own story around that. And I find that's what I find so encouraging, is that the first launch, it may not be mind-blowing, but it's the most important launch. Your next launch is your most important one, because it'll take you towards that those larger ones. So, yeah, it's really exciting to hear. Thanks so much, Jeff, for the time that you've given us today. I'm going to link under this post to some of those videos that you've already launched, and I really encourage people to check those out. So thanks for your time today, Jeff.
Thank you, Darren, and really enjoyed it.
Thank you.